I think this was always our idea, because I'm not there just to have an ABC. An ABC type of interview with old Mr. Galbraith, which last morning. We had to get some understanding of what it was like to be, you know, living in Port Melbourne, both on both work and play, and the way it's changed over the years. Yeah. So it must be a union history to that degree, mustn't it?
It must be, yeah.
But on the other hand, I don't know that you need, as long as you cover all the major issues, which Tom and between us would remember most of them, and the major issues. Whether he's got, you know, whether a year or two is right or wrong, I don't think it's terribly important, because later on we go back and check him, you know. But it seems to me that, well, see, it was interesting. Now, Mr. Galbraith, he reckoned was the greatest improvement in the water side, was horses. He said, that was a great thing. He said, when we had horses to help us pull the trucks. He was me thinking.
Instead of them being the horses, they're the horses.
See, yes, well, that's the important
thing. Well, this is good.
Because we, you know, I was thinking you might say the gang system or something, which is what Tom always says. But he was there that early that he reckons horses was the great thing.
See, and also one thing that he did agree with, Galbraith, that wages wasn't the important question, it was the improvement in conditions was the important question.
Mm-hmm.
The winning of freezer, protective clothing for freezer.
Did he raise this?
No, but we were talking about this sort of thing, you know. But horses, you see, was his great point, because unfortunately they had to pull the bloody trucks on their own.
See, it was such hard work pulling them over the bad wharfs of existence. That even the poor old horses used to get
you
it
see, this fright for freezer equipment, clothing, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, see, I thought what we might do, Tom, was get it in mind and jot down a sort of a, what you might call a list in chronological order.
What have I ever talked to Swain about? Now say, look, what do you think we should get
it? Now listen, mate. Now, you ask the bastards, they tell you something you don't want to do.
Do
your... It's like,
you know, politically very, very well advanced, isn't it?
Yes.
And he links politically...
But they don't all have to, Tom.
No, but I mean...
He'd give a good outline.
A good outline. He wouldn't be good on that.
It might be worthwhile having a talk with him, you and I, and him saying, what do you think of the things we ought to put in? You see, I was very keen, and we will have to get Nagel some bloody hell or other, if not for my book, for the Depression book, and certainly for this one, because he, now you see, after all, the strike was a seminal period, it was the great thing, you see. Now, see, if you get him on the strike, he's not talking about personalities. He's talking about the strike. He's talking about him in it. But he is talking about the strike. You see, so that's why he's important to get him if we can. Now, Mr. Whatchamacallit, we might go back to him, given that he lives. I can never believe anyone who's 108 is going to be alive next time I see him, actually, given that he lives. Like, we might go back to him when there's a few more issues that we can't tie up.
You see, to me, the emphasis on the conditions is just one and how they were.
Well, this is basically what we're going to do, but you mustn't...
To these people.
You've got to make it a good story.
See,
you want to have a lot.
As what it was, you see. Now, Jeff, I'll talk about something to Jeff, nothing in particular, but something I say to me, well, that happened in the branch of so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. It's gone out of my mind then, until he reminds me. You see things like that.
How old is this Jeff Swain?
But that's a young man.
Jeff would be 54.
How old's Ted Ball?
Well, he's retiring next year.
He's got 12 months to go.
Well, I think it would be extremely sensible of us, Conrad, to have Ted Ball in it. You know, quite seriously, I think that, you know, we don't, I mean, Ted Ball is, if he's now nearly a retired member.
Yeah.
Oh, you probably have a bit of...
We were trying to work up a date. Now, I'll tell you how we were trying to work up the date. What we call work to a finisher job, you know, you finish at 7 o'clock in the morning and the ship's due to sail. If the ship sail within the 2 hours, the completion of the cargo was within the 2 hours, you work that 2 hours. So instead of knocking off at 7 o'clock in the morning, you continued on to 9 o'clock. And we asked when we got the abolition of that, you know, we eventually got the abolition of that. And there was quite a difference of opinion. We said about 56, some said. I said it was later. And I think it went right up as far as 68 before they got rid of
it. Oh, it wasn't. They reckoned they got rid of them in Sydney in the 30s, or was that wrong?
No.
That's what that was Dutch said.
No, did not.
No, well, come to think of it, no, he didn't. He said the first time he ever rose to speak in a union meeting was on the question of the 24-hour shifts. And that was in the 30s, so that doesn't mean they got rid of it in the 30s, does it?
Very long campaign.
Yeah. I got lovely tape.
Because again the Bulls, you see, again the Bulls was opposed to, because they said, we're getting the 24-hour shift, we're getting the money. Start to introduce these shorter shifts. It's coming out of our pockets, not out the ship.
Now, what percentage of men on the waterfront would you call bulls? I mean, how many of them, what percentage of them were getting all the work?
I'd say out of every 1,000 men on the waterfront, 700 of them would be tied up with some company or other. It was only the 300 odd out of every...
So 700 of them weren't doing bad?
Wasn't doing bad. They were getting the majority of the work. The other 300 was just a pool that was there to pull in at that 700. To give you an instance, see, the regulars at the iron boat would get their ship Monday to Friday, work on the steel boats. But they very rarely worked of a Saturday morning. Ships under that system was out, you could set your clocks pretty well by them by the time the cargo was finished. It finished, say, at 4 o'clock of a Friday, complete, ship's out. Now, if the second preferences might have a job at Olyman's for Saturday morning, they could claim the job. Mm. They could have you put off the job.
Would they?
Yeah, and they would do that. That might be the only job you've got for the week, that Saturday morning. But these hungry men would come and insist on through the POs that you be sacked off that job and they take your place on them, because they had the preference of work on the waterfront, not on the iron boats, on the waterfront.
So the first preference men were the bulls,
really? Well, they were the bulls.
And were they, half of them or two-thirds of them were PNCs, were they?
Yes, two-thirds.
I just thought of someone.
On the waterfront, and that's where you're going to run into trouble.
Why?
Well, that's
no one will want to be in with him.
No. You see, I'll give you an instance of it. Now, a bit of this thing is still, to a lot of people. You know, this organisation I run the retired waterside workers, I have one PNC member in it.
One person who was ever a PNC?
And he never joined it in the 28th strike. He joined the PNC in 1937 because he couldn't get into the Federation. And there is still men will not come to this organisation because of that.
Is that
because
true?
He is a member.
And even though he was a Federation man before, I mean, the two were federated.
Yeah, it's silly. No, he was, yes.
I mean, he became a Federation man in the end, he had to.
That question was settled when we, at the stadium, when we got the majority of votes in 1956 and the PNC organisation was disbanded. But in people's mind, it is still not, as far as they're concerned, they are still outside the pale.
You're now, very late, if you put, you?
Eh?
I'm sorry, if I put what?
If you put stuff in from Arthur Neville's or people like that, you're going to kill it.
You really reckon?
Mm-hmm.
Gee.
Wouldn't she, Dot?
What?
If she, I'd tell them of the instance of Harry Card in our club.
Oh, yes.
And the Paddy Coys and Emma will not come to it because he is there.
Yes.
Mm. I was just saying, once you get Arthur Neville, but Tom says he's dead, but anyway, you couldn't have him.
But if she starts to put people like that, like Arthur Neville, look, Arthur Neville stood continuously for the committee and the secretary, and he had as much money over getting in there and getting that job as you, because of one reason. He was the secretary of the PNCs.
Mm. See,
he was an original scab, he only came into it in 37, Arthur Neville.
Mm.
It was Ely would draw him into it, it was Ely would add him there. To work in that organisation.
Healy got him to go into the organisation.
No, correction, Jim Saunders.
Yeah.
Jim Saunders got him there. He used to be selling stuff up the market. Jim Saunders said, why don't you try to get on the waterfront? He tried to get into the Federation after Neville. He couldn't get into the Federation, so he went into the PNC, and he was organising for unity between the PNC and the Federation until eventually he became the secretary of the PNC. The minute that the two bodies were amalgamated, he was out of a job. But when he stood for jobs in our organisation, he became very erratic in the end. And he stood, I could go and get your book down there and show you the figures.
Mm.
where he stood, where you'd get 1,000 votes, where I'd get 1,000 votes, he'd get 150.
He was just getting the LPNC member voting.
LPNC, and that's all he got.
But the contradiction today, with the likes of this Harry Carr, well, he was a member of the PNC, as Neville, he couldn't get into the Federation.
He wasn't an original
scab. But he wanted to work on the waterfront. So he wasn't an original scab, he didn't scab on the job. But he joined the PNC. Then they were absorbed into the Federation. And they were accepted by the membership, and they all worked beside them. For years and years and years until they've reached the stage of retirement. See, there's such a contradiction.
And yet they don't want to be in the blooming club
because there's a scab there.
Even though we worked besides those men, there was no discussion with them like there would be between Jimmy Smith and Tom Mills or anything
like that.
Did you ever know a guy, I don't know,